I was going to say, literally, for parking the van tonight, if you go that way, although you won't have any views, but...
I mean, we don't care about views, we're in bed by 9 o'clock.
Hello, and welcome to season 2 of the Extraordinary Ordinary Women podcast. My name's Frankie, and this is the podcast where I cycle around the UK interviewing folk about their adventurous lives. This season was recorded back in September 2020, as I cycle towards Liverpool and onwards north on my way to Scotland. This is episode 8, where I chat to Fiona in a very wet but gorgeous Clitheroe. We chat about fitting adventure in around family and work, about breaking down the coast-to-coast trail, and setting up events for the awesome community Love Her Wild. This episode was recorded out in a park. We tried to find the quietest, most sheltered spot possible, but you can still hear the rain and wind rushing through the trees. But I hope that doesn't deter from Fiona's awesome stories.
Don't know you at all, could you give me a bit of a snapshot of who you are and what you do?
Okay, so I'm a mum, I've got 2 kids, a teenager and a 10-year-old, and I just try to squeeze in as many sort of local adventures as I can around being a mum and the pressures of family life, just to keep me sort of sane, really, with and without the kids, I guess, which is just a case of finding the right balance. I mostly like to walk and do lots of sort of hiking in Lancashire and sometimes a bit further afield if we can get away. And I've recently gone into outdoor swimming, which I absolutely love. Yeah, so that's sort of my sort of little adventures sort of summed up.
Amazing. Tell me more about them. When did you start?
Okay, so I'm 44 now. And 3 years ago, I was working as sales director for a contract furniture business, doing your 9-to-5. And something happened and it completely tipped my life upside down. My mum had a really, really huge stroke, and she went from being fully healthy and independent woman to becoming brain damaged and disabled and unable to speak. So I was there for her and got to the point that if I wasn't at the hospital supporting her, then I just couldn't focus on my job anymore, and I tried to for about 6 weeks, and then I just pulled the plug. I said, I can't do this anymore, I need to go and throw everything I've got into being with her. There were so many rehab sessions, so much paperwork to do, so many legal things. We had to sell a house, and it became like a full-time job. Even though I wasn't actually a carer, once she came out of hospital, she went into a care home. So my poor mum, she was going through all of this, and she lent on me, because despite everything that happened, she was still in there. So it was the worst time for her. And I kind of carried it all on my shoulders. So it was really dark for probably about 18 months. It was just so many appointments, so much upset. I'd travelled previously in my younger life before having kids and stuff. I'd gone around the world a couple of times and done, you know, all the usual sort of backpacking and touristy things. And then lost sight of travelling and getting outdoors as much, because I was a single mum for a while and you're just on the treadmill. So when you get off the treadmill, when the kids were back at school, I started just sneaking out for a walk locally with my husband, and it just reminded me how great it felt, you know, no matter what, just to get out, and it felt like a weight was lifted being out in nature. It's really cliche to say that, I know it is, but it's so true though. So we started to fit these walks in more and more, because it really helped me sort of cope with everything. So this was kind of the end of 2017, 2018. We decided to set ourselves a target for the following year. So we decided to walk the coast to coast. So we didn't really have babysitters, and we wouldn't leave the kids for 2 weeks. at a time, so, and they are not interested in walking that sort of distance. So we split it into 12 sections and said we'll do one a month, and we have to stick to it, you know, because life still just takes over when you've got a family and it's just non-stop. So that was our goal, and it was just amazing. And we followed the route, and we do a section each month, and we were taking the high routes up in the lakes and going up to some of the peaks because we had the time to. And I just got the bug then for, you know, getting up in the mountains. And, I mean, it's such a hard slog. I was wearing all the wrong gear, you know. I was like weighted down by all these big heavy coats. It was January, which, you know, you're supposed to do it between April to October, I think. So we were doing it starting out in January. The February was absolutely covered in snow. I mean, we kind of just learnt as we went, but we had just the best time, and it really pushed me out of my comfort zone and just made me feel alive, you know. So I was like, oh god, I love this. So I kind of got the bug. The walking just became more and more, and that felt like a really big challenge to us, and we finished it in the November of that year. So that was absolutely brilliant. I was really pleased that we'd walked one side of the country to the other, but albeit broken up. But that's, you have to compromise when you've got kids, you know, and you either wait and maybe never do it, or you just get out and find a way to fit things in.
That's amazing. And the 12 sections that you did you, were they like then day trips, or were they still
overnight? So my husband had a van, just a work van, so we would go, and we would usually just throw a mattress into the back of his van, sleep over, and then get up and walk. Probably we'd gone, you know, have a bottle of wine in the pub, probably set off a bit later than we meant to, and then get up and then come back. So we'd managed to get a babysitter for one night, so we'd sleep over and be ready to get and walk as much as possible. My daughter did come with us one weekend, so we walked just about 6 miles on each day, and we did it over 2 days, just to, you know. But pretty much my husband had to carry her most of the way. I did quite a montage of all the different positions that he had her in, upside down across his shoulders. She never came again.
What sort of things have you done since doing the Coast to Coast?
Well, so I wasn't working throughout that year because I was pretty much on call for my mum, and that took a lot of time. There was so much upset, and I really couldn't sort of lift the fog from my head, I guess, to get through, to even think about work. So the beginning of the following year, I started returning to work. After feeling so much gratitude towards nature and the outdoors, that's when I decided to just set up an e-commerce business, which was doing all the sort of environmental products, because I felt like it was just a way of giving back, you know. I'd started litter picking and things like that just when we were on the walks. And it just felt like the right thing to do, from sort of ending your career, just like, boom, so then having a break and not really knowing, you know, it wasn't planned. So it kind of just fit with my new life that I'd started to lead. So I'd gone down to the Women's Adventure Expo, and it was a real low point, really just rock bottom, really struggling with everything that I was carrying. I didn't know anybody in the adventure industry at that point, and I shared a lift up with Anna McNuff, and I didn't know who she was. I remember asking her where I should go, and I was like, oh, she seems really nice. And then she got up at the end and did the most amazing talk, and I was like, oh, that was her from the lift. And then I went and listened to a talk from Beck's band. It was a workshop, actually, The Ordinary Adventurer. I thought, oh, that fits me, you know, and there, that's me. So I went in and I just listened to what she had to say, and I was totally bowled over. And she runs Love Her Wild, and I went up to her after. I was feeling so emotional that day, just being in the room, because I've been like in such dark places, and all of a sudden I was just thrust in amongst all these amazing people that reminded me of the life that I used to live before I had kids and things, when I travelled. And all of a sudden it was like this light had been switched on, and I was just like holding back the tears all day, but tears of joy, you know. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna cry again in a minute. And I just sat there thinking, god, please nobody notice. So I spoke to Bex after her talk, and she said, oh, we're running a weekend, you'll have to come down in the south, so it was like a bit of a momentum for me to sort of book it and make sure that I had something to look forward to. So I did, and I joined the group on Facebook, and I just enjoyed reading all the women's inspirational stories, and it kept me going as well and reminded me to keep getting out and keep doing. And then I'd see everybody was swimming and I was thinking, oh, I need to do that. I mean, I was the kind of person that wouldn't go in the sea when it was 30 degrees, you know, because I didn't want to get cold. But it was just down at this river, just here on the Ribble, just further up, that I plunged in one day. It was 15 degrees out and I was like, I'm going to do it. Anyway, I did it.
Were you by yourself?
I was just thinking, oh, please nobody come along now. It's not really the kind of place that you see swimmers unless it's 30 degrees out. So yeah, so I booked onto that. Then the call came from Bex to call out for regional leaders to run sort of local Love Her Wild groups as volunteers. So it just niggled me. I thought, I can't do that, but it wouldn't go away. So I sent her a message. I said, look, I've got no experience and I'm just, you know, and she's like, you're perfect. So she didn't want sort of people that were going to be leading people up mountains or anything like that. It's just about getting like-minded people together to just spend a little bit of time outdoors or even go for a coffee. So I started that just over 2 years ago now. So we get together probably once every month or once every 2 months. And we've done wild camps, a couple of little swims, but only very shallow, you know, and keep it sort of low-key. We've done litter picks on the coast, lots of walking. Yeah, it's fab, really. And again, it was just another commitment that I made that meant that I had to keep going outside all the time. And I was expected to do a meetup every 4 to 6 weeks. So no matter what life was throwing at me, it was like I had to do it. And it was just the best thing, just meeting all these women. It was so refreshing just chatting to people that you don't know as well. You know, like being here today, it just makes you feel alive listening to what people have got to say. And, you know, and sometimes it's really nice that people don't know you and they don't know all of that stuff that you're going through. You're just going there to have a really nice time and be outside and go for a walk and have a bit of a chat. And I've made so many amazing friends through that group. So many. I love it. So, yeah. So then from there, so I was totally into the group. It was very much a southern group when I first met Bex a couple of years ago, but it's grown massively in size. And after I'd been to the Love Her Wild South weekend, just had the best weekend, and I absolutely, again, got so many friends in the south from going down there. It was wonderful. And she talked about bringing it up north, so I'd said, I'll just contact her and see if she wants a hand bringing it up north. So she was absolutely pleased and snapped my hand off. So last year I organised the first one of the Love Her Wild North event, which means I get to speak to and meet loads of amazing women, inspirational adventurers, and get to talk about all these amazing things and listen to all the talks. And yeah, we organise bushcraft and art and everything. So yeah, it's camping. I was going to say,
because you explained to me before we started recording what the event is, but what is the event and what does organising it involve?
Oh God, I will never turn up to any kind of event and take for granted the amount of work we've gone into it ever again. It is just huge. There's so much. And obviously because it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that, and I was just absolutely so nervous that, I mean, to be honest, I love organising, and my friends that have known me for a long time said, I can't think of any better job for you to be doing, you know, it's just perfect. So it's Instagram's such a great tool to see who's out there and what they're doing, and then these people get a random message from me saying, hi! So it's full weekend of camping, loads of speakers, women that have done varying levels of adventures, you know, from biking or swimming or hiking, you know, at home, and small adventures as well, you know, because that's very much what Love Her Wild is about as well. It's not, you don't have to be the best at everything. It's just like a welcoming space for women to sort of get together and support each other. So we have speakers, and then we have adventure tutorials. It might be that we've you want to get into blogging, so we sometimes have people who do that sort of stuff. So there's lots of things that you can learn. Writing, bushcraft, so you can carve a knife, outdoor cooking, shelter building. It's really jam-packed. So yeah, I have the best time organising it, and then delivering it is just like a dream to be there, although I'm obviously very nervous. But yeah. Blood, sweat and tears, but it's so worth it. So yeah.
Amazing.
And then yeah, I mean, hopefully it'll roll on every year. And I'm also involved in organising a family weekend for Bex as well, which is the first time that she's ever done anything like this, where it'll be mums only that will bring, or our aunties or grannies, and they'll bring the kids along, which I think is really good, because there's a lot of single parents out there, you know, and sometimes you take away the father figure and might not have the confidence to do these things on your own. There's all kinds of people that this could appeal to, so it's a bit of a new concept for the group. So that'll run in May next year as well, and that's a bushcraft weekend again in the Peak District.
Awesome. And can you tell me about some of the adventures that you've done with your children? Did you say that you get out with them sometimes as well?
I do sometimes. They're quite small scale. My son, he would do stuff, but he won't do it with me now, because obviously I'm not cool enough, because he's going to be 16. But I can take my daughter out. We went swimming in Snowdonia a couple of weeks ago. Got a friend over there who does a lot of outdoor swimming. Yeah, so we went over, hooked up with her, and we just had the best weekend in a really secluded cove on the coast. Did a bit of snorkeling. Just so beautiful, Wales. I absolutely love it. And then the next day, we were splashing around in sort of plunge pools coming down off the off Snowdon in the mountain rivers. Just, you know, my daughter, she just absolutely loves it. So I love that I'm opening her eyes to this now, you know, even though I missed out with my son a little bit. It's nice to know that I can still do it with my daughter. So yeah, so she will walk with us a little bit, and she's getting into the swimming, so that's good. And we get out on our bikes and things together, and it's just snatching a moment, you know, when you can. So we're heading up to the lakes this weekend in the camper vans. Hopefully I can get her in the water. That'll be the test, as long as it's not too cold.
How do you find the time to get out around being a mum and working? And because you said you run an e-commerce site,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, so I do that part-time at the moment, really. Yeah, I've got a few different fingers in a few pies. So I do a bit of work with my husband, with his business. I've obviously got the e-commerce business, and then I do the stuff with Bex as well. So do you know what? After being in a 9-to-5 and being so rigid with life, it's just really nice to be able to nip out and meet you and do that. It kind of adds to the sanity. It helps. You know, because family life is just mental. It's just so busy. I don't have the same level of responsibility with my mum anymore. She's still alive, but her health is deteriorating all the time. So, you know, 3 years later now, and she's not in a great way. But she's not well enough now for me to be able to take her to the rehab and the group meetings that she was part of before. So I don't have that responsibility apart from just being there for her. So I guess now I probably have more time to put into the kids now that I'm not dashing over to see her all the time as much as I was. And obviously I've barely been able to see her this year anyway. So you just juggle. You just do. And it's just non-stop. But yeah, I'm so much happier just having lots of different things going on. And the type of work that I'm doing is like a dream, really, because it's just in an industry that has given me so much. It's nice to be at the beginning of a new phase of my life. And I'm excited to see where it'll lead. It's not, you know, I'm not there. It's all just new. And it's the start of a new journey. And I have all these plans for when my kids are older, you know, everyone's saying, oh, I'm going to go here. And I'm like, oh, Yeah, God, I'd love to. Now's not the time. I need to wait for my bigger adventures. But I know that as long as I'm healthy that I'll do it, but I've just got to wait. So for now, being able to go up to Snowdonia a couple of weeks back, or I was up in Scotland swimming in the sea up there last weekend, just having those weekends is amazing. You know, I was camping on Saturday night, just me and one other lady from Love Her Wild Lancashire group that I volunteer for, and that was just on a farm over that way, and we're going to the lakes this weekend, so it's like full throttle now, especially after the pandemic and not being able to go anywhere. And just after we got a slight release from the restrictions, we ended up getting a rescue puppy, so we couldn't go anywhere then. So just because they tell you to take it slow and you have to keep them at home. So as everybody was like, I was like, oh God, time that bad. We've got to stay home. So I'm making up for it now. I'm just trying to get out there. So, yeah.
Sounds like you're so busy.
Just with little ones, you know, but it's just, like I say, keeps me sane, makes me happy. I'd love to do all these big adventures. I mean, what you're doing is so exciting. But you never know, you see. If I keep getting inspired from people like you and everybody else that I meet.
Yeah, and also, like you said earlier, it's about fitting in what you can do around what you can do. Like, breaking out the coast-to-coast into 12 days. Like,
yes.
You've done the coast-to-coast.
Yeah, exactly. So there's always a way. I mean, we're lucky that we didn't live too far away. It was a bit of a drag having to take two cars up and drop one at the end, and you know, and one night we set off and my husband had not got his car key and it was his car that we were walking towards, and I was like but yeah, there's many stories like that when you're doing a trip. We're still together. But we need to do more of it, because it has been hard fitting in time, and I do a lot with the women that I meet. So yeah, we kind of need to fit in a bit more with each other now over these next few months.
Amazing.
And I'm married.
What advice would you give to someone else that was like wanting to start doing more adventures or wanting to get out there?
Just go for it, because I've got friends that I've had all my life, and I know some of them, when I meet up with them, they say, oh, I'm going to come with you next time. I am on one of your group. And I just know that if they came and if they took that step, they would absolutely love it and get so much from it and just never look back. But it's easy to find an excuse to go, actually, I can't make it. You know, something's come up. I just can't, you know. But if you actually just take that step, going down to that Women's Adventure Expo that day, it was like a massive turning point for me, from being in such a low point and going through the worst times to doing something about it. And then you realise that once you've put that foot forward, you just got to keep going. You just get so many rewards from it. It's just so refreshing to get out of your bubble and get out there and meet people and just go for it. I mean, I wish I could do more, really, but you know.
I mean, it sounds like you're already doing a lot, I'm not going to lie.
Small ones, I'm doing like small ones. So yeah, I'd just go for it, you know, join a group if you don't know where to start. They're all, that's the beauty of Facebook and Instagram, isn't it? You know, they're all out there, they're easy to find. Just join it and sit quiet and watch it for a while if you know, but then just get involved, because, I mean, what we're doing is nothing majorly adventurous, but it's not, you know. And the women that I'm sharing these experiences with, they're from all kinds of backgrounds and all different stages in the life. You don't have to be from a certain mold, you don't have to fit, you know, we're all different. You don't have to be the best. A number of times people say, well, I'm gonna come but I'm gonna be really slow, and I said, you know what, we're usually just like chattering 10 to dozen when we're walking. We're not going at any speed, you know, we're just taking it slow, and it's just about the company and the fresh air and getting out there. And so yeah, so just I'd just say go for it to anybody that just doesn't know where to start. Join a group and just turn up.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced any barriers to getting into the outdoors?
Oh, gosh. Life.
That's going to be relatable for so many people.
Definitely life. My fitness has definitely suffered as well. I mean, you know, I was actually really quite super fit when I was a lot younger. And I look back now at the years that I wasted when I wasn't doing it. It's the only regret that I've got, that I drifted away from that lifestyle and I wasted those years. And now to sort of get back out there. I mean, you soon pick it up, don't you? My husband walks at about 5 miles an hour. So when I was walking the coast to coast with him, it was really good for me because I was just totally flat out exhausted trying to keep up with him. But it meant that I got my fitness level back up. But then it's peaks and troughs. We can't get away on those. We've no babysitters at all at the moment. So, and yeah, I've not really kept on top of my fitness during lockdown, I'll be honest. I started out with the best intention, but it's kind of...
I mean, did anyone?
I don't know. I've got some friends that I think did. So anyway, just an inspiration to get me back out there. But so yeah, letting my fitness go, but life, it's always going to throw an obstacle. I've had plans that I've had to cancel last minute, you know, and it's just devastating at the time because you know you need it for the sake of your mental health to get out there and to see these people and spend this time outdoors. But then there's always the next time, isn't there?
Yeah, and I was going to say, so then how do you overcome that?
Yeah, just look to the next and keep moving forward because with things like people's health, I mean, my mum's been in and out of hospital so many times since it happened, and that stopped me because she still can't talk. I have to go and be a voice and, you know, even just to explain what she has for a cup of tea and how she has it, you know. And I would just think it'd be awful if I couldn't even get a brew as I wanted it, you know. So sometimes it means that you have to miss out, and I have had plans cancelled the night before I was due to go away, and I've been devastated, but that just wasn't meant to be, was it? And once you get over the disappointment, then you've just got to keep moving forward. There'll be a different path. I did go on a week's expedition, actually, which was like my big adventure that I've done since I've been back out. It was through the Love Her Wild group, and I thought it really tied with the work that I was doing. I spent a week living on a sailboat, and we sailed around the Scottish Islands, and we were going on remote beaches and picking up plastic pollution, and it was all being sampled, collected and reported back to the Marine Society and Surface Against Sewage, basically. So you keep a tally of exactly what you picked up and where it was. There was a lot of marine litter. We found a Coke can that dated back to, I think it was 1960s, it was. And a curly whirly wrapper, so yeah, which was just crazy, washed upon this island in Scotland. And we also did a test for microplastics as well, just by putting this net in the water and sampling and putting it under the microscope and just looking at all the organisms in the water, just absolutely, just mind-blowing. So yeah, so there were six of us on this tiny yacht, well there was eight of us including the two crew on this tiny yacht, and we were all sort of eating, sleeping, living on this boat, and a couple of swims, had a absolutely amazing up-close experience with a whale. Oh, yeah, it was fully breaching out of the water. We'd seen seals, but we'd not seen, like, the whale or the dolphins or anything, and it was just, yeah, I was determined to spot something, and luckily this night, this whale just came up and kind of just flew itself out of the water, and I thought I was seeing things. I thought I'd have too many days to say. So I screamed out and we went chasing it. We changed course and off we went, and it was just, we spent about, I don't know, an hour watching this whale sort of dip down and then come back up a few minutes later, and it was smacking its tail, and it was just the most amazing show for us. So humbling, and the most beautiful sunset sort of cracking behind it, but we didn't even notice until the whale had gone. So colours of red and orange, and just, you can't, memories like that, you just can't beat. So yeah, so that, I suppose that's been my highlight, because I was able to get away for a week.
Amazing.
I must have earned it.
Racked up a lot of good karma for that one.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's that was really special. So I'll look forward to doing something like that again, but it won't be for a while.
I want to talk a little bit about, like, your journey and your path through life.
Yeah.
How do you think your journey has shaped who you are now?
I think in some ways I'm quite strong. My friends who tell me, who I've known for a long time, they do tell me that I'm quite strong. So I mentioned I was a single mum as well in my earlier days, and that was from when my son was born. So you kind of have to just get on with it, you know. And then I met my husband, and I had my daughter. And I was just, yeah, I suppose being a single mum, I was just working 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, babysitter every other Saturday night, so I did what was logical to me at the time, and then just go out with my friends. But you're just going at 100 mile an hour all the time, you know, and it's exhausting, really exhausting. But there's lots of single parents in the world. But I don't know, I am quite strong. There's been times when I've really come close to crumbling. Well, I have crumbled this last 3 years a few times. It's just, you've just got to keep going. And leaving work, everybody thought I was really brave to do that, but I didn't feel like I had a choice. I think if it happened to me, something like that, then I would hope that somebody would give me the best chance of recovery and sort of make sure that I got to all those rehab sessions and everything. But yeah, unfortunately, despite my efforts, it's not helped. It's just part of the journey, I guess, isn't it? But I think it's the difference is finding a way to cope with it all. So what I found was the outdoors and new friends. They don't pour my heart out to me every time I see them. I just be a brand new, fresh person. But I'm telling you, because obviously it's part of my journey. But yeah. Hopefully, like looking forward, I will just sort of look back on this and feel that I did my best and that I came through it all right in the end. And hopefully I'll have a whole new sort of career in an industry that I just love and is so rewarding.
And so where do you see your career going now?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Because like, you've talked a little bit about it, but you've not sort of like...
Yeah, I was doing a lot of... when I set my website up, I was doing a lot of voluntary work alongside it because I just wanted to get involved in the community. So I set up a recycling scheme and I started talking to schools in the local area. I delivered like 11 assemblies in schools that year, talking about plastic pollution, and I get them all involved in like collecting crisp packets for recycling and things like that. It got to the point that around what I was doing for my mum and the kids, because I was then doing school hours, and the voluntary work was taking up more time, so my business kind of was like the last on the list. So after running it for 12 months and I did get it to a really good successful level, I had to kind of make a decision that, you know, I've got to concentrate on my career. So that was in January, and then this year has pretty much been a non-starter. You know, the products that I do, they're eco products, but I'm sort of going down the niche route of them being more outdoorsy focused, to trying to tie that together with the outdoorsy events that I do as well. And just, you know, but this was at a time when we were all told to stay indoors and not go anywhere, and being at home with the kids for 6 months was very consuming. So I'm not going to sweat it, because there's a lot of things that I could have worried about the last few years, and I obviously have, but I can't change it. So I'm just going to give back up now. I'm putting a lot of focus into the website and getting that going, and I'm excited to see what I do with Bex once I can get those two events back in next year, and hopefully that will keep moving forward. So I just, every time you meet somebody, new doors seem to open. You've just got to keep saying yes, haven't you, and keep moving forward, and you just don't know what's around the corner. So at the moment, I'm just happy to see where it sort of takes me. And I'm lucky my husband has a business as well, so I do a bit of work with him, so I'm lucky in that respect. But and I don't take that for granted, but but not so lucky in other ways, you know?
Yeah. And what's the name of your website?
Oceanclear.co.uk. So, yeah. But, yeah. So, I still see it as quite new, which it is, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think anyone that's set up a business before lockdown, it's,
yeah,
you're setting it up again.
Yeah, you are. So, and with all the best plans in the world during lockdown, you know, it was actually quite nice to just stop and be at home.
Yeah.
So I started growing veggies. I've never ever done it before in my life. And I was like, well, if I can't do it now. Unfortunately, the rescue puppies dug them all up. But she's the only one that I would like get away with that because she's so cute. Uh-huh.
Do you feel like you've had like a clear path or like a clear sense of direction throughout your life?
No. In a word, no. No, I feel like I just, I never really knew what I wanted to do, I guess.
Hi.
Hi. When I left college, I always wanted to travel, so I did that. So when I was much younger, I went to Australia and Southeast Asia, parts of America. When I got back, I was at home for a few months and then I travelled again and went to New Zealand and Hawaii and Canada. So once I'd done that, well, that's when I actually fell pregnant with my son. So that grounded me and that's when everything sort of stopped. I was always wanting to just go somewhere and, you know, get on the next plane until that point. And then I just put my roots down and did what I thought was expected of me, really. Whereas, and I think because I think bringing him into the world as a single mother didn't help either, but I just felt like I was just, that's what I had to do, just work. Whereas I see loads of amazing mums now, you know, taking the kids on all kinds of adventures, and I wish that I could rewrite that and found the confidence that I've got now to just go and join that group and get involved and see where it leads. But back then I didn't, so I can't change that. But yeah, hindsight.
Yeah. I've been asking everybody if they've ever felt like they're going against the grain. Like, I live like a fairly alternative lifestyle and there are times when I really feel like I'm just like, you know, like sometimes I live in my van and I work freelance and I do all these things and it just seems to be going against the grain. Is that something you've ever felt?
I do a little bit sometimes with some of my longer term friends that obviously have known me live a different life to this one, and all of a sudden the things that I used to like doing, I don't really get much pleasure out of it anymore. So just going out for dinner and drinks doesn't really do it for me anymore. If I was going for a walk and then going for dinner and drinks, then that would be great, but just being about dinner and drinks is, it's not really what I want to spend my money on anymore. You know, I'd rather just have lots of these little adventures that I've been doing, going and staying with a friend and going and having a dip. They cost nothing apart from your petrol to get there, you know, and that's what I'd rather do. Or, you know, go and stay in a hostel somewhere, and you know, it's not expensive. You take your own food, take your own bottle of wine, and sit down and just relax after you've been wherever during the day, you know. So I guess what you enjoy doing changes. Yeah. So yeah, I do a little bit, because if I want to see my old circle of friends, which I do because I've known them all my life, I have to dip into their world, which was mine as well. Yeah. But
how
not
do you
so
manage
much.
That?
I just don't do it that often, you know. It's not something I can afford to do right now. I mean, it's not something that, I don't want to do it often. So, but they're still my friends and I still love them. So I still want them in my life. So, yeah.
It's interesting what you were saying about you'd rather go for a little adventure than for dinner and drinks.
Yeah.
I started thinking about it when I was in New Zealand. I was like flat broke. I was on exchange in uni and I completely ran out of money.
Uh-huh.
And I started thinking about everything on like a money to happiness ratio.
Right, yeah.
And like going for a walk doesn't cost a lot of money and makes you so happy.
Yeah.
Going for dinner, like, makes you happy, but it, like...
There's a lot of expense, really.
Yeah, and a money-to-fund ratio.
Yeah, exactly. So it's about getting the most out of what money you have.
And what time.
Yeah, and with the new businesses, I don't have a lot of cash, but it's not that that makes me happy, though, so I don't really care, you know? Yeah. I can, I've got my walking boots and... You know, I've got my wetsuit that I got off somebody secondhand in exchange for a donation to an animal sanctuary. So I'm happy. I'm away I go, you know. if I get, like, really amazing at any of these things that I do, then I'll spend a bit more money on some kit. But it kind of does me for now.
That's all you need. Just start with what you've got and get out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, my bike, I got that off Facebook Marketplace for about £20. We went to the best family holiday we ever had was at a vegan surf camp in the south of France. We went down in my husband's van and we needed bikes, so let's just get. So I got this one, it was £20. We just had the best time. So we were either surfing in the morning or just cycling around the four of us in the afternoon, and I was just so happy eating amazing food that I didn't have to cook.
That's amazing. Yeah. Such a good idea. And then you've got such a good souvenir from the trip as well.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah. Yeah. And I don't do a lot of biking. In fact, I was thinking I need to just get out on a bit more.
And what's one thing that you know about yourself now that you wish you'd known sooner?
I think it's having the confidence, isn't it? It's about going back to just that, taking that step. And just putting yourself out there to open a few doors, really. Despite not having the background that most other women that I meet are doing what I'm doing. You know, I haven't got all these incredible adventure stories up my sleeve. But I'm not letting that hold me back, I guess. Obviously, I was in two minds about contacting you because my adventures are small. But I thought, but there's a story there, so, and I'm old, so we'll tell it.
I mean, you keep saying that you're adventures are small, but, like, I don't know, sometimes I don't really think there are different sizes of adventures. Yeah. I just think there are different places of adventure. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's about, it's how you perceive an adventure as well, because we all perceive it differently, don't we?
Yeah.
So for now, what I'm doing makes me happy. And I hope that I can look forward to some bigger adventures in the future. But one thing that the last 3 years has taught me is that we don't know what's around the corner. So that's why you have to fit these things in all the time. I've met some people that were younger than me and that had had strokes, and they've lost the ability to make those decisions now. They're not, they're confined to being disabled, and those choices are no longer available to them to make. So I think when that point comes in life, no matter how old you are, it was a case of what would I regret if that happened to me. And that's when the coast to coast came along, I guess. So we'll just have to see what comes next.
That's amazing. And you know, sometimes I think it's actually harder to do like little local adventures than it is to do a big one, because like if you go on holiday to Spain and you're going to go on a surfing holiday, when you get to Spain you go surfing every day, but like when you wake up in your bed in your house with your TV in your pajamas,
I know what you're saying, and sometimes you lose the motivation, don't you? But I think if there's been a bit of a time where you haven't had anything sort of lined up, I start to feel a bit stale, a need for fresh air, a bit suffocated. But just because I've got used to allowing it in now, you can't beat just even sitting out here, really, you know. That's why I love camping so much. Just eating outside is just so liberating. It is. You know, you come back from a week camping and you just feel like you've breathed it all in. And you feel alive and refreshed, even though it's, you know, hard going having a big family tent and all the gear that you take is graft. Like the last family holiday we had camping last year was a disaster in Wales. It was gale force winds and raining for the entire week, but anyway, it's all part of the fun.
But you're still there, it's still had a great time.
I've been asking everybody like these questions that are kind of around like shaped around like feelings and emotions. Mm. And I've been asking everyone about authenticity.
Right.
For me, my 20s has seemed like this random journey of trying to work out who I am, where I'm going,
whether I actually am who I am, and then whether the person I want to be in the future, whether that's who I am, whether I'm that person already, whether I'm not, like, sometimes I don't know what's going on.
I think your 20s is, that's part of being in your 20s, I think. It's a long time ago, so it's hard for me to remember.
But I've been asking everybody, like, what does authenticity and your authentic self, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's about being true to yourself, isn't it? Which I know what I have to do. I know the life I need to live now to be true to myself.
And do you feel like you've always lived as your authentic self?
No, so I regret those years where I wasn't outdoorsy. I was so into sport when I was younger, and I was so, you know, I was at school, I was doing the Duke of Edinburgh, or if there was a chance to go climbing with friends, I'd be going, or I'd just always try anything. I was always the one that was always up for doing it. I don't know why I felt like that had to change when kids came along, and I look back and think that I wasn't as happy despite all the trauma that's come with finding it again. I'm obviously in a better place now than I was a couple of years ago. But I regret those years when I wasn't doing all of this stuff. You know, it was wasted.
But I think, let's say, when you said earlier about maybe not knowing that there were other people with children doing it, like, sometimes if you can't see it, you don't know.
We didn't have social media back then. I kind of feel like such a dinosaur saying that, but you don't. And we're so lucky now that we have access to all of this, and you kind of have to go with it and keep up with the times, because you miss out otherwise. You know, I do have got friends who are not many. I've got a couple of friends who don't really get online and do it all, but you can miss out on so much. You know, there's a whole world out there. You can just literally just tap into it and get on board with what other people are doing, or this event's happening, and yeah, let's go and get involved. Whereas it just passes you by, and before you know it, your life's over in one way or another, you know? So, and you're just never too old, is the way that I look at it, even though I do feel it some days.
And what do you think bravery is?
About not letting your fears hold you back in life, you know? For me, it's a confidence thing. So I'd said to you when we first met that I battled about getting in touch with you. No, I'm not going to do that, because what story have I got to tell? And then it was just one day I woke up feeling brave, so I sent you the message, and then you replied, and I was like, oh God, I've got to do it now.
Oh my goodness, so when I said earlier, like, the worst thing is that the person can say yes, I was that person saying yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I guess when I put myself forward to Bex, I thought, once she said, yeah, this is brilliant, yeah, go for it, let's do it. Then there's a thought afterwards that goes through your head, and you think, oh God, what have I got myself into? And you think, what do I think I'm doing? And you question yourself, you know. I thought that when I, in hindsight, thinking about all the assemblies that I did last year, just talking about pollution and things like that, I look back and think, what did I think I was doing? But that's because I've stopped this year, because, well, the world stopped. So you've just got to take those bursts of confidence, and you've got to run with it while you're feeling it, you know, because it's good, you know. You just got to keep moving forward, and if you don't, you'll just stagnate.
And when you, like, I really resonate with what you said about questioning yourself, and I think I question myself. Yeah. Like, when I first put that post on Adventure Queens, I was petrified. I had to, like, post it and shut the laptop and walk away.
I love that.
Like, for you, when you're questioning yourself, like, how do you overcome that?
Well, to be honest, I think if I know it's something that I want to do, I'll tell myself, no, I'm not going to do that, but then it niggles me. So if it niggles me, then I just think, well, I'm just going to have to do it. So it's just having the confidence, isn't it? Not being afraid to see what door it's going to open and where it's going to lead. So I guess it's a strength not everybody has, I guess. You know, some people just let that fear overtake and never know. And that's why it's nice to encourage other people to just get out there and take a step and do it, you know. So, yeah.
And would you describe yourself as brave?
I don't know. In some ways. People said I was brave to quit my job, but I didn't think I was. I thought that it was the only choice that I had. I guess it's brave midlife to try a different career route when you've got no experience in it. I guess. I don't know. Like I say, I was always the one when I was younger that would always try stuff, never ever hold back. So I guess that's come back now that I've sort of switched my mind back in that direction. Now I guess a little bit of that has come back. I always wanted to just try everything and do everything. Hopefully I've still got time. I get when I went travelling, I had to go skydiving. And when I'd done that, then I had to go higher and do it again. And then I said I'd never do bungee, but then I did two, and you know, and then there was never any fear. But then everybody does that kind of stuff, I guess. So it was just, I was always just, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So, yeah, it's about living life, isn't it? Trying different stuff. And, you know, when you've got a family and everything, you feel like you're obviously really, you are tied down in lots of ways. But because I've not brought them up in that lifestyle, if I could rewrite the book with them, then I guess they would be different. But they don't always want to take part in what I'm doing. So it's about finding the balance. So like, I snuck away on Saturday night with somebody I'd never met before through the group. And we just had a little night camping. But a couple of weekends before, I'd managed to take the kids away. So it's balance.
I mean, it sounds like you do a lot with them, but then it also sounds like you've managed to, like, shape so much time for yourself as well, which is, I think, really inspiring, actually.
Yeah, well, to be honest, before what happened with my mum, I would feel guilty if I went on so much as a night out or went a night away, or I didn't feel like I was entitled to have time to myself as a mum. But then, with all the pressures that her situation brought, and being so... so draining and so emotional. I knew I had to get that time. It wasn't a case of feeling guilty about it, but it's just awful that we see ourselves, we call it being selfish, having time to ourselves, and it's so not. And I hate it when people use that word now, because it's just important. So no, I don't feel guilty about it anymore, because it's become an essential thing. I'm happy for them to come with me and do, but they don't want to just do what I want to do all the time, so I know what I want to do, and I'll include them, and I'll do stuff on my own if it needs be. And it's not selfish, it's self-care. So, yeah.
That's awesome, I love that.
It's just a shame it takes something so drastic to make you realise all these things. That's a sad point.
But then hopefully there's someone else who'll maybe listen to this and their story will like resonate with that, or
yeah,
they'll hear that and think, oh
yeah, because I'm sure that I've met inspirational people over these last 3 years that have switched me on to all of these ways of thinking, you know. I've not just come up with this all on my own. I like to take all the credit.
What do you think happiness feels like?
To have the freedom to make choices, and I suppose I can apply that in a couple of ways. So one that I mentioned earlier, having met people that were younger than me that had been affected by stroke and were no longer able to make the choices, it was too late. If they had regrets, they weren't able to rewrite that, you know. They were disabled, or they might have lost the speech, and they were working through therapy, and who knows if it was ever going to come back at all or to any degree. So those choices are gone, and you're not free anymore to live your life how you'd want to. And also realising what I was talking about from the point of being a mum, that it doesn't mean that you just have to be at home, chained to the cooker, or at work. You know, you don't have to be bouncing between the two. constantly, you know, your kids want to see you happy as well. So if that means that you want to escape for the afternoon and go on a walk and you just need to be a bit of alone time, then that's what I mean with freedom in that sense as well. And that's key to happiness, is keeping your mental health in check. So that's what happiness means to me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And I've just got a few more questions. So we are like moving towards the end. If you're doing okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about like outdoors media and like, so whether that's films or books or magazines, catalogues, guidebooks, whatever.
Yeah.
But do you see yourself represented within them?
That's a tough one, really. I think that you just listen to stories from people from all walks of life, don't you, really? So, yeah, I would say so. They're out there, you've just got to find them, haven't you? And I think that there's lots of people that are out there telling the story. Everybody's got a story behind their adventure as well, haven't they? As to what made them do it. And whenever you've got a story, there's always people that want to listen. So yeah, I think they are out there. I wouldn't say we're necessarily underrepresented, but...
And my last question, I might check three of them, but I think my last question is, can you give me one piece of advice that you'd like to give to your younger self?
Oh, God. That I just... I didn't have to live my life in that sort of normal, expected way when I became a mum. I didn't have to just... work, go to indoor play centres on the weekend, you know, and have a coffee, and then maybe go out once a fortnight with my friends, you know, as a break. What I should have been doing instead of going to the play centres was getting down to the river more often than I did, going for a walk with my son, and then, you know, instead of when I had that every other Saturday night off, I should have been heading off into the hills and not just going down the pub. So, yeah, my advice would have been to go back and tell myself to think outside the box. You know, having come back from 2 round-the-world trips, I don't know why I thought that I had to live my life the way that I did, really. It's not like I wasn't having a good time at the time. I was. But, I would do that differently. So that would be my advice to myself.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to talk about that we've not talked about, or is there anything that you thought I'd ask you that I haven't asked you?
Honestly, I didn't know what you were going to ask me, really, and I didn't even give it any thought when I was coming. I just thought, I'm just going to roll with this and see what comes out. I'm not sure I'll be able to listen to it back if you use any of it, but... but... God, imagine. I mean, some of the stories you must be being told. I can only imagine. Just such a variety of women, backgrounds, just stories, life stories.
And, like, I feel so lucky that I just get to cycle all day and talk to awesome women. And then I also feel like everybody's like, oh, I wish I could go back and tell my younger self this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll just make a note of that.
I was going to say, have you learnt anything?
Yes. I just feel, like, so much more confident in myself.
Oh, amazing.
And, like, I maybe do have so much more power and capability inside of me than I thought I did.
Because everybody would want to live this life if they could rewind the clock.
And... I'm also not sure whether it's just like starting to do the trip and overcoming all the fear of it, and like I've overcome some like really scary moments in it, and I'd like obviously that's helped, but also there's something like a lot of women, when I've asked them what they wish they'd known about themselves, they've said they wish they knew how resilient they were. And I think that's interesting.
That's a good answer.
Loads of people have said that, so you say yours. But like, I guess you don't know how resilient you are until you go through something bad and you get through it. But, like, knowing that other women also
didn't know
and
found it hard.
And
then realized, I think there's something powerful in knowing what other people have lived through.
It is. Women are so strong, we have to be. You know, we want to have, often want to have, the perfect career. Feed our kids, the most amazing healthy meals every night. Have a spotless house. And you just end up grinding yourself into, a wreck. You just got to let it go, you know. My dog has finished off. I need to have a clean house. That's out the window now. And, we put ourselves under so much pressure that something's just got to give. So, even though I've got no money, I'm way happier just living this life. And there's a bit more excitement to it because I don't know what's coming next. Well, as long as it's happy stuff. But there will be.
Yeah, there is.
You
don't know what's coming next, do you?
Yeah. It's fun. It's not boring. You know, just the meeting people, that's what I love. I'm very lucky I've got to meet some incredible people. Yeah, I love it.
I feel like your journey's going to resonate with so many people.
Do you?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I hope so. But yeah, we're still... I mean, you've talked to Sarah Williams, for God's sake, you know, then you sat here on a bench with me in Clitheroe. It's not... But I also thought, because where we live in the Ribble Valley here is so beautiful. I mean, and Lancashire is a little bit forgotten because obviously we've got the lakes, we've got Snowdonia, we've got the peaks. We're really, and it's not far to Scotland. You know, we're in quite a privileged spot for adventuring and not having to travel far. But, I mean, you can't see the views today, but the Ribble Valley is absolutely beautiful. And I thought... I thought it'd be really nice to bring a bit more adventure to the Ribble Valley. So I was totally made up when I managed to get the Love Her Wild North weekend at Waddo Hall. It just absolutely made my year, really. So it'd be nice somehow to keep moving forward and to do more stuff like that and to bring more stuff here. So we've got loads of beautiful green rolling hills. It's just stunning. So that would be my dream.
And you've got lovely weather here too.
Yes, not. Those adventurers aren't bothered about that though.
No, absolutely. It's character building weather you've got here.
I don't normally come out with a brolly, but I just didn't want you getting cold with your cycling.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you found Fiona's stories as relatable and as inspiring as I did. Extraordinary Ordinary listeners, I have an announcement to make. We are having a name change. We are no longer going to be the Extraordinary Ordinary Women podcast, but it's going to be renamed to Extraordinary Ordinary You. I hope you like the new name, and thank you so much to everybody who commented and joined in the discussions on social media. It will take us a few days to update the handle on here and on socials, but please remember to search Extraordinary Ordinary You if you're looking for next week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, keep on being extraordinary.